morning. Namaste. Magandang umaga. Bon dia. Right? Okay, I got it that time. Or oi, right? Okay. I'm working on my languages for those of you who didn't know. I was never good at it in school, so I'm trying to get better now. Actually, we try to speak to people in the native language that is theirs, recognizing that we are a community of God from different places of different groups. So it's a joy to have you here this day. And as we come this day, I say, He is risen. Tried to sneak it in on you, and it didn't work, did it? We come here on Easter, as we did last Sunday. We come first thing, and part of the tradition of the church, from way back when to even today, when we say, He is risen, we say,
He is risen indeed.
Let me for those of you who are here, I know some of us have been traveling with a lot of different things, and last week for us was a huge week for us, with Palm Sunday and the extra services that we had and the four Easter services that we had. But let me just take a moment before we get into this just to thank all those that put their time and energy into our Easter celebration so we might tell the story. Not just to do our jobs, but that we might tell the story who Jesus is and what that's about for us. So we can say, He is risen. Last week we celebrated resurrection and we talked about Jesus turning the world upside down. That the world sometimes likes things this way. This is the way things are. Take care of yourself. Take care of your group. Look to things of power and money in your own life. But we suggested, I suggested, and I think God suggested that Jesus turned the world upside down. And that which was death suddenly became life. We talked about the world wanting to know that what's most important is yourself. Taking care of yourself. Well, we remember Jesus saying, no, it's about serving others. And so in that, we can say, He is risen.
He is
risen. We talked about the world saying it's your group that's most important. You've got to take care of your own. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if it's only we take care of our own, where will that lead us? And how Christ came and crossed over boundaries and cared for even those who were Roman. Those who were known as sinners. So that He turned the world upside down to say we are a gospel people to all the nations. That we might say, He is risen. Getting a little weaker on me, church. And we heard about the world saying that what's important is power and money, right? That's what the Romans said. It's power and money. It's how we keep that power and money. And with that power and money, we can do what we choose. We can put to death who we choose, and they will stay dead. But God intervened and said, that's not the way it is. The stone was rolled away and life came back so we might say it's not power and money, but it's love and grace because we know He is risen.
He is risen.
Oh, that was very good that time. But my question this morning, when I say He is risen, hold on. When I say He is risen, is that true? Really? Let's see. Easter is new life, is it not? At least that's the message. And Easter comes in the time of spring when we celebrate new life. When anybody seen any, are they crocuses? What are those things? The real little beautiful ones, the purple and orange and crocuses. Okay. They're up in our yard and it's just glorious to see that after the snow that we've had. And so we come and we celebrate new life and we look at the creation around us, how it's springing to new life. And we say Christ is risen. Yeah, we say is risen, right? Do we say Christ was risen? Huh. But I wonder which verb we really work out of. We know Easter is a time of new life. But I think for us not just in the culture, not just in the environment around us, even as the world is springing to new life and the culture loves lambs and eggs and all kinds of things at Easter time, the question for us, of those who call ourselves followers of Jesus, is, what is Easter about? Sometimes I think we come to Easter Sunday, that celebration of new life in Jesus Christ God has given us. And we think to ourselves, yeah, man, they tried to put Him down, but we've got the victory, right? There's victory in Jesus. We even sing about it. We say to ourselves, you know, Christ fought the good fight and He achieved, and the battle is won. And so Easter Sunday, we take our lap, you know? You know the victory lap? We grab the flag. We take the lap. We sing the songs. We hear the message. And we say, the victory has been run. The victory has been won. The race is over. And what do you do when the race is over? I go home. How about you? I don't stay in the game. If the victory is won, the race is over. And I wonder, is that how we see Easter? You know, sometimes Easter is a big, right? It's a great celebration. It's a great Sunday, a great time of the year, even if you're not a church person, a great way of celebrating within the culture and with family and those kinds of things. And even in the church, sometimes we get through a lot of stuff. We get to Easter Sunday and we go, man, we got through it. We're still standing. And this last year, we got through that study on forgiveness. It was a hard thing to do. We got through it and we learned and we grew. We got through some of those messages and some of those videos on issues of forgiveness in our world that were hard things to see. We got through it. We got through Palm Sunday and the kids coming through with the palms and nobody lost an eye, did they, with those palms coming? We got through that, didn't we? We got through Maundy Thursday, Holy Thursday, remembering that love table that Jesus set for his disciples, through Good Friday, through the darkness. We made it to Easter. It's accomplished. We got our four services done. And it's over. Right? I mean, for those of us that work in the church, sometimes, it's over. But if that's how we see what we just celebrated, why are you back today? If that's it, we've taken the victory lap, it's been achieved for us, why are you back today? I just got eyed right there. What did I just say? Why are you back today? Easter sometimes, the victory, it is won for us. We see it as the last thing, but instead, what should it be? What should it be? Sometimes I think we see Easter like the garden, right? Now, how many of you like the garden? I know there are a lot of you out there. I enjoy doing it. I'm not very good at it. But you see my little, and I'm really fond of tomatoes. Do you guys? Anybody like to grow tomatoes? And some of you are real good at it, I know, because you tell me about it. Oh, well, let me tell you about my crop this year, Pastor. I hear that all the time. But it's like a garden, you know, you're raising tomatoes. But if we see it as just, you know, Easter, it's over. There. It's like we go to do tomatoes. You know, I do have some topsoil in here. You get topsoil, you get that mulch stuff, you know what that is? That smell too good. You get fertilizer stuff, you put that in there. You get some seeds, you get those little things out, and isn't it wonderful? Open those seed pack for the first time. You get those seeds, those tomato seeds out, you put them in there, you plant them in there. They're there. You take some water, you water it. And you're done, right? But it feels so good. You tilled up the soil. It smelled so good. Creation's coming back. You got the seeds in the soil. You've accomplished it. You've mixed it in. You've worked it hard. You got the seeds in. It's over, right? It is not, is it? What comes next? You got to mulch. Or you should, I think. I'm not a great gardener. You got to fertilize some more. You got to keep watering it. You got to keep an eye on it. You got to watch for bugs. You got to watch for rabbits. Sometimes you got to put a fence around it. And then towards the end of the year, what do you have to do? You have to harvest, don't you? You have to harvest. But sometimes I think we treat Easter just like this. It's over. The seeds have been planted. What else do we need? And we don't realize what God asks us to do. You know, God asks us out of Easter not to feel the accomplishment of what God did for us. It is tempting to do that and to know that victory, but to know these are seeds that have been planted for us. So Christ is risen, not was risen. He is risen that we might take that which is new life in ourselves and, and use that in ways of love and grace. This morning, I want to show you a little video loop, clip, loop, whatever it's called. It's an ancient video clip that we found. It's at least 7 days old. 10? Not even. Oh, I'm sorry, it's only 5 or so days old. A video loop we've had that's shown the true meaning of resurrection, where resurrection started and where it went to next, and what happened to it. I want you to pay attention to this. We're going to hear a little Amazing Grace with it. Watch the scripture passages, but look where it ends up. Let's show that. Thus it is written, the Messiah will die and be raised, and repentance and forgiveness will be preached beginning from, says Jerusalem. But who is the new Jerusalem? Beginning from where? The doors of this church. The doors of every church. Beginning from. Easter is a beginning for us to know again. The new life and the repentance and the forgiveness we can receive from Christ, and that new life that we can know and begin to live that and share with others. You know, I think Easter is about rock and roll. The rock has been rolled away that we might rock and roll in ways of love and grace and life in the world around us. The door out there that is to be where from, you know, the message of Christ, the actions of Christ, the actions of love, there to be preached and shared and lived beginning from these doors. So the doors we have out there in our lobby, in our narthex, you know, as you enter those doors, I hope each day, each Sunday, each time we come to know that new life in Christ, each Sunday we are here, as we enter those doors, it might be like entering the tomb again to know that death is not won, but that real life is a possibility for you and for me. And as we sing and as we hear and as we pray in this place, that we might know the body isn't here anymore. Death is over and we can live that life of grace. My prayer also is that at the end of this service, as we exit those doors, as we exit this tomb that is here, to know the new life that is in this place, as we exit those doors, we might know the possibility of seeing the world with new eyes and living in the ways of love and grace in all that we do, that we might share that with this broken world around us. In the scripture lesson this morning, we hear about the resurrection community of Christ. When they received new life, they didn't go home and just have a dinner. When they received that new life in Jesus Christ, they told people and they organized themselves to love each other in meal, in fellowship, in communion, in sharing with things that they had with those who were in need. They organized that community out of resurrection. They just did not celebrate the day. And when Jesus came back to speak to Peter, you know, he confronts Peter on the beach as they're eating together. He asks Peter, "Do you love me?" And, "Yes, Lord, I love you." And Jesus didn't come and say, "What a victory we've had. It's been achieved. You're okay now. You're forgiven for denying me. Don't worry about it anymore." It's a victory. What does he ask him to do? "Feed my sheep. Be part of the love and the grace with which I have loved you." that we step on, and that Easter might not be the ending, but Easter might be the beginning. We come this day to know Easter does not end on Easter Sunday, but is a wonderful and awesome thing. And not restricted to just the thing we have here, but it's the planting of a seed that others might know what we have known. It's growing in the ways of love and grace and possibility for our world. And it's like our vegetable garden at the end of the summer, right? It's there, but you got to put that work in. You got to put that work in. How many of you, like me, you like tomatoes? And you grow them? For those of you that are really good at it, please see me. I do have some issues with growing tomatoes. And I wish I didn't. And a miracle, right? Just kidding. It was already in there. Tomatoes are my favorite. Now, I love the lettuce, the leafy stuff that's really healthy for you. You know, the broccoli you're supposed to grow on cauliflower. We try to do that, onion things, we're there. But I love the tomatoes. To see them grow up on the vine and start to bud, you see them turn color a little bit. And the different varieties you can have, from heirlooms to meaty ones for spaghetti sauce, or to beefsteak ones that you can put on your hamburger. And I always wondered why I liked tomatoes so much, and then I remembered. I remember a story that I had forgot for a number of years and remembered recently. But I remember as a young boy, when I was really young, we lived in a double. Do you know what a double is? A duplex. I was raised in a duplex. It was a little apartment thing. It was a small yard out back. My dad had been a farmer for a number of years. And so when he had time, he didn't always have time, he did like to put a garden in with a very little space. And right along the fence line, guess what he planted? Tomatoes. And I remember more than once being in a house, and as a kid, I didn't care for gardening at all, right? Who wants to mess with mulch when you're eight? But Dad, at the end of the year, Dad would come in and get me a number of years and say, come on out back. You know, come on out back. He would take me to the back fence. These would be ripe, and they would be real tomatoes, not the styrofoam kind they strip mine in Texas or something like that. They'd be those real juicy things. He'd take me back there, and he'd pick me one, and he'd pick one for himself. And we'd go sit on the back stoop, the three steps up into the back porch. We'd sit on that. He'd sneak in the house so Mom didn't see him, and he'd grab the salt shaker, because it wasn't supposed to come out of the kitchen. And I remember the first time putting salt on this, and they just ran off, right? So what you do? I'm not going to say that in church. And put salt on that, and we would eat that thing. And I remember sitting with Dad year after year eating those good tomatoes. And that's like resurrection. You put the time in. You put the receiving of God's grace in. You put the openness of the Father coming to you and say, come with me. There's some things we want to celebrate and live together. It's like biting into that juicy tomato that you have achieved. And I beg you to know that's what resurrection is about. It's not about just celebrating the day. It's not about just planting the seeds. It's about really realizing God has turned the world upside down that you might know love and grace and the fruits of that. Not just to be a member of a church. If that's all we're here for, I'll give you a bunch of organizations you can be a member of if you want to just be a member of something, of good organizations. But we are here to know that God has shared love in this world and wants us who are followers of Jesus, wants us who have received that resurrection spirit, wants us who know it is not about sin and brokenness, we can be forgiven, wants us to know it's about new life and sharing that and biting in that tomato. So I beg you this year, as we celebrate Easter, and think what it means for us to be the community of Christ, keep that resurrection spirit alive. And where in your life are you asked to be that richness of God's creation, that richness of God's love, to share and to love others? Where are you called, like the early church was called, to be communities together? Perhaps you have isolated yourself at some point, and you don't know the resurrection power of friendship or family or church here. and those things you've been invited to be participate in? Where is it you have, perhaps, looked too much away the world is around and haven't looked at what it means to be of those of service and giving in the world, to know resurrection spirit? I invite you today to reclaim what new life is about. Not the cultural celebration, but the ways of love and grace and hope and possibility, that we might know the richness of love. Let's bow for prayer. Most loving God, we thank you for this second Sunday of Easter, this time of celebration. We thank you that we can come and claim that Christ is risen for all of us and that Christ is risen for this broken world. We ask you this day to help us work on those fruits of resurrection, that we might receive that possibility of love and grace and know Christ is alive in our hearts, but also that we take that livingness, that wonderful love we have received in him, and share that with those around us. So, Lord, remind us that we are your garden, that we are to bear fruits in ways of grace. Touch us with that love and new life, and send us forth this day out of these doors, like they were the doors of that open tomb, racing out to show the new life we have received here in this place. So, Lord, touch our hearts, send us forth, and continue to make us your people of resurrection. In Christ's name we pray.